Dexter, how you doing? Yeah, I know. That's funny. Were you like that as a kid? I thought so. Well, you know, that reminds me. Just the other day, I was talking to a friend who's white, and we were kicking around some stories about our childhood. And she asked me, "Did you talk about race with your parents?" And it felt the same as if I had asked her if she talked about air or breath with her parents. Race was in the air I breathed every day. It was there when I walked out my door, went to school or the store. Every time I watched TV, looked at the newspaper or the images on the billboards and products we used, it was always there. Race was in the car with me when my brother drove us to pick up my mom from the white people's house she cleaned, where we had to go to the back door to get her. Race was in the way we didn't cross white people and their expectation that what they were saying and doing was better and more important than our contribution. Race was in the promotion my dad couldn't get, even though he held the study groups for the white guys that passed him up. Race was in the way we could get loud and raucous and full of fun and aliveness when we gathered together without white folks around. And it was in the soothing, loving tones of, "Baby, come on over here and give your auntie some sugar." And a hug that enveloped all of me, squeezed me into warm, ample bosoms with a crowning kiss, sealing the pact that told me I belonged here. Race was in the broken down knees of my grandma, who had to get down on them year after year to scrub white folks' floors. And it was in the bottle my grandfather drank from to blur the reality of his manhood and inability to provide for his family. Race was in the way my mom made sure white folks called her Florence. The black folk in town only knew her as Sis, the nickname she had since she was a kid, because she was the only girl in a family of brothers. Race was in the way my tightly kinked hair had to be greased and straightened with a hot comb to be acceptable and in compliance. My sometimes singed ears and back of neck scars being my merit badges for a model Negro. Having my white dance teacher pull me aside from the other students to explain how the suntan ballerina tights might be a closer match for me than the traditional pink ones that all the other girls would be wearing. Wondering how my Italian friend, who browned almost as dark as me in the summer, could still be considered white. And it was going to the library with my mom when I was 5 years old, and digging out from the big pile of books the one called Little Black Sambo. I loved that book because it had a black boy and tigers. And what could be better than that? And every time we brought that book back to the library, Mama would try again to get me to choose a different one. Race was in the way I felt like I needed to be extra diligent to represent the whole Negro race when I was the only or one of a few in a whole group of white folk. It was in the way the colored part of town was up against the railroad tracks, and we would jump up and steady my grandmother's china cabinet when the train rumbled by. Was wondering why tans and tanning lotions were so popular, while those of us with the real brown skin were so despised. Thank you. having my light-skinned godmother pinch my nose so it would be more like a white nose instead of a black one. And those flesh-colored crayons and band-aids never did look anything like the flesh on my bones. And what was it you asked? Did we talk about race? Well, yes. Some, but it didn't always have a name, you know. Sometimes it was just there, like air. Didn't tell you about my real life, the one that haunts me most days. It comes in moments at a time, triggered by a look, an attitude, a sensing of superiority, of blatant ignorance, of good meaning intention. Dripping crap down my face. I didn't tell you about the look they gave me when I opened my door and they saw black me standing there, their mouths agape, their thoughts running loudly through my head. I didn't tell you about being followed in the store and how I obediently kept my hands and my bag in plain sight. I didn't tell you how quickly they look away when I catch them staring at me in the restaurant and standing in the supermarket line. I didn't tell you how the clerk pretended the white woman was standing at the counter before I had and waited on her first. I didn't tell you how I have to take a really deep, long breath every time before I walk into a room full of white people. I didn't tell you that in the meeting and the classroom and the workshop, when the subject of diversity comes up, they all look at me as if I am the spokesperson for the whole nation of people of color. And I didn't tell you that when diversity isn't mentioned and needs to be, I'm too often the one who has to point it out. I didn't tell you how many times, in one way or another, white people say to me, "You're different," because they felt comfortable with me, and that didn't fit their mold of what they thought a black person was like. I didn't tell you about the white woman, a stranger who chose out of all the white people around us to sit next to me and proceed to tell me all about her favorite black performers and her black friends and how this country needs to take integration to the next level, so I could see how her life was an example of that. I didn't tell you how disappointed that white man was when, after eagerly questioning me, found out that I was not the exotic Nubian he had fantasized, but just another Negro girl from New Jersey. I didn't tell you about the anger I stuffed down when that dreadlocked young white boy gave me a high five and called me sister. And I didn't tell you about the white woman I passed at twilight in the park, who tensed her body, tightened the grip on her purse, and walked a large, curved detour past me. I didn't tell you that my stomach clenches when I see a police car, because it means I may not be safe. I didn't tell you that your world is not mine, and that we are virtual worlds apart. I didn't tell you that while you can somehow think of yourself as multi-ethnically expansive because you have a black friend, I, meanwhile, just still stay black. I didn't tell you that while you can walk boldly into any place you choose, I always have to consider where I am, who I'm with, and how I'm going to affect people. I didn't tell you that being a good person and being clueless can come in the same package. I didn't tell you about my day because Then I would have to live it all over again. And I have to save that for tomorrow. Thank you. Thanks. Okay, thank you very much. So, we're going to do a little something. While you're in the mood of the poems, we're going to do a dyad. So what that is two people talking with each other. So in a moment, I'm going to have you rearrange yourselves to do that. And in the dyad, we'll have about 2 minutes for each person to talk. So one person speaks while the other person listens. And then I'll give you a heads up when it's getting close to the end of that time and when the time ends. Then we'll switch. And the person that was listening now talks, and the person that talked now listens. So both pieces are extremely important. And after that, then we'll have an actual conversation where we can talk with each other for another couple of minutes. So what I'd like you to do is look around and connect with someone that you've not had a personal conversation with. Okay, somebody you don't know so well. Maybe even somebody who's really different. Different in age, different in looks. And connect. Go ahead and connect with each other. Sit together. Sit together. Find a partner. Okay, is there anybody who does not have a partner? Okay, over here, anybody else who doesn't have a partner? How about y'all connect up? Okay, yeah, that's it, scoot together. And if there's anybody odd out, then make a threesome. Okay, we're gonna get ready. So, listen up. So, the question for the discussion, for the talk is, what stood out for you about the poems? And the other piece of that, which is so very important, is why? So what stood out for you about the poems and why? So I'm going to ask you one thing in this, is to get as honest as you can. Because that's what's been missing in the conversations about race. And then when you're honest, drop down just a little deeper. Okay? So again, I'll give you a heads up. You have 2 minutes. Decide who the first person to speak is. And go. 30 seconds. Time's up. Ooh, a lot of good juice in here. All right. Okay, so we're going to switch. People, the other person talks. Go. Seconds. All right, time's up. Time's up. All right. So the next 2 minutes are for you to speak with each other. Go. Seconds. All right, time is up. Time's up. Time's up. All right, thank you. Woo! Let's talk about race. Not so bad, huh? So thank you, everyone. Thank you for participating. Thank you for getting the juice going around having some conversation about race. Wanted to just make sure you knew that we have a resource table right back there, and Jane's there to help you out with that. There's a browsing table of wonderful materials, books, movies, to give you some ideas. Notice if something jumps out at you, you know? Write it down, take a picture of it, and start checking stuff out. We also have CDs, Reflections of Race, my poetry collection of poems for my white friends, and Dexter has CDs of his fabulous music. So, again, thank you, and continue the conversation. Continue the conversation. Also to let you know, I have a video on YouTube of doing the I Didn't Tell You poem. And so it's a wonderful way, if you want to reflect more on that poem, and if you want to share it with other people, that's a great resource as well. So thank you.